Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood, with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our special guest, Rosemary Clooney. And here he is, Bob Hope. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Bill. Very happy to be back here. And out here in California, we're having some wonderful weather. I feel so full of vigor, I was just mistaken for Donald O'Connor. Really. I met Phil Harris this morning. He thought I was Donald O'Connor. Of course, he also thought it was last night. I really was mistaken for Donald O'Connor the other day. Two women passed me on Vine Street and one said, "Hello, Donald." She must have thought I was really young and fresh-looking because then she turned to her friend and said, "Isn't that Donald Crisp?" And this is a wonderful time of the year for gardening. I'd be out digging in my garden like everyone else except for my tax setup. The way things are now, if I strike oil, I'm ruined. Of course, Jack Benny does his planting all year round. I started a garden 3 weeks ago, but I haven't done much with it. Zsa Zsa Gabor's swimming pool is on the other side of the hedge. And you'd be surprised how little you can plant when you're standing on tiptoe. The manufacturers bought out their new cars, you know. You can see them in any used car lot in town. One new car even has a television set in the rear window. It's very convenient for motorcycle cops. While they're chasing you, they can watch Dragnet. The new models are so automatic that pretty soon we'll have cars running around without drivers. Of course, we've had that in California for years. Altogether, it's been a rough week for me. Monday, I lost my wallet. Yesterday, I got hit by a truck. And this morning, I got a letter from Crosby. And you can always tell when Bing has left Hollywood. The Bank of America looks like a saloon in a ghost town. It's a very nice letter. I'll read some of it to you. Bing says he's staying a week in Ireland, a week in England, a week in Scotland, and 4 hours in Paris. I know people get old, but this is ridiculous. So many movies are being filmed over there, there's nobody left in Hollywood except Francis, the Mule, and Lassie. The three of us had lunch together yesterday at the Round Table. And you know, foreign films are becoming very popular over here. I saw an Italian picture at a drive-in movie last night, and it was very entertaining. It was wonderful to be able to hear Italians speaking the Romance language and at the same time look around and see Americans acting it out. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, music is the backbone of show business. Now, on Vine Street in Hollywood is located one of the largest recording studios in the world, where the big bands and famous singers gather to make your hit records.
Record City, hello. No, Harry James is not recording today, sorry. Record City, one moment, I'll connect you at the stock room.
Gee whiz, what a madhouse, Bob. I never saw so many people rushing back and forth. Well, you know, Bill, a lot of our hit records are recorded right here in these studios. You see that door over there marked Studio A?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the red light goes on over it, Liberace will be recording Somebody Bad Stole the Wedding Bell. Yeah, well, a blue light went on. What does that mean? Well, they found a wedding bell. Now they're looking for his toothbrush. Yeah, I wonder where Frankie is. He's home bathing his Oscar in Lanolin Plus.
Gordon McRae, report to Studio 5, please. Rosemary Clooney, Studio 3. Jack Benny, Studio 12.
Gee, Bob, I wonder what Jack Benny can be recording. Well, Jack brought his violin. He's making a special recording of From the Vine Came the Grapes. What for? Next week is Phil Harris's birthday.
Attention, powder room. Attention, powder room. We're ready in Studio 10. Hurry, girls. Bill Spatoni is waiting.
You're probably being delayed by Evelyn and her magic eyelash curlers.
Say, what's this next room, Bob? Is that a recording studio, too?
No, that's where the musicians relax when they're not recording.
Oh. Well, what do they do in there?
Oh, they just sit around and play chess. You know, the musicians are a very quiet bunch of guys. They just play chess. Of course, some of the moves are pretty complicated.
Where is Miss Clooney? Have either of you gentlemen seen Rosemary Clooney?
No, we haven't.
Oh, everything is going wrong today. James Melton wants new orchestrations, and Dude Martin won't be able to record at all. Somebody plugged up the holes in his sweet potato. And now, on top of everything else, Miss Clooney is tardy.
Well... Well, I'm here, and I'm all set to go. You gave me a recording date for 10 o'clock this morning. I've been waiting ever since.
Who are you?
Well, I'm in your catalog, Tex Hope, Western Songs and Medleys. Listen. See them a-tumbling down. Pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free, I'll be found.
Hold it. We gave you a recording date?
That's right.
Yeesh.
What about Studio A? I was scheduled for 10 o'clock.
If this happens to be a commercial enterprise, Mr. Holt, and we allocate our space to our more popular artists.
Now, look, don't get so snooty. I knew you when you were mixing the soap powder for Lawrence Welk's bubble machine.
It's too bad we can't get a studio.
Oh, they're crowded today. All the big bands are rehearsing.
Well, hello, Bob. Hello, Bill.
Well, Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, we're recording today, too, Rosemary.
You are? What number are you doing?
Well, it's a song I wrote with my brother Jack. It's called "A Wagon Wheels Are Rolling Over the Tumbling Tumbleweeds with a Coyote's Howl and the Wind Blows Free and Never's Heard a Discouraging Word, Partner, Don't Fence Me In." Calypso number.
Miss Clooney, there you are.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mitchell. I'm 5 minutes late.
You're 10 minutes late. How long do you think the trumpet player can keep puckered up?
I'm really terribly sorry.
Be careful, Rosemary. Tony Bennett was a few minutes late last week, and for punishment, they put the hole in the record off center. Now, no matter what he sings, it comes out ricochet romance.
Hey, Miss Clooney, you're disarranging my entire schedule.
What can I say after I say I'm sorry?
We recorded that last week. And now hurry right along.
Well, I'll see you later, Bob.
Rosemary, why do you let them push you around like this?
Oh, they're not so bad.
You don't have to record here. Why don't we form our own company? You'd have your own offices, your own studios, your own records.
Sounds like a good idea.
It's a great idea. Any outfit that you can record for has got to make $1 million a year. I can just see the sign in the building now, the Bob Hope Music Company.
The Bob Hope Music Company. You didn't waste much time cutting yourself in, did you?
Well, I'll have to put up the money for studios and offices and equipment, you know.
Yes, that'll take close to $1 million.
How much?
Well, over half a million.
How much?
Well, Bob, how much are you prepared to put up?
You know anyone who takes green stamps?
If this book waits for you another second, do you hear? Not another second.
Rocky Marciano is back.
Do you realize, Miss Clooney, that when an artist is tardy like this, the engineers have to wait, the producer has to wait, the director, the arranger, the electricians, the band leader, and all the musicians have to wait? The entire organization comes to a stop?
Well, I'm ready to record right now.
You are? Well, would you excuse me for a moment?
What for?
I'll run next door to Decca and see if we can borrow their needle.
Rosemary Clooney doing a copy of her Columbia record, "When You Love Someone." Come in, Rosie, honey.
When you love someone. someone as I love him. You don't stop to wonder why I love him. At times he'll adore you, and then he'll ignore you. Still you know you'll never let him go. Don't care what he does, I'm all for him. When I'm all alone, I call for him. And though at times there's sorrow, tomorrow is new. When you love someone the way I do. Don't care what he does, I'm all for him. When I'm all alone, I call for him. And though at times there's sorrow, tomorrow is new. When you love someone,
ladies and gentlemen, you know, someone once said, humor's the true democracy. We've all heard stories about a familiar American figure, the traveling salesman. In New England, the original traveling man was Jonathan Slick. The people he dealt with were pretty shrewd customers, but not as shrewd as Jonathan. He could give any one of them a head start and out-swap them every time. Like the time he tried to sell a razor to an Albany farmer. The farmer didn't want a razor, but Jonathan was willing to bet him $5 that if the farmer made an offer, Jonathan would have a sale. The farmer took the bet and offered 2 cents for the razor. Well, said Jonathan, you drive a hard bargain, so it's yours. The farmer got the razor, and Jonathan got the 2 cents plus the $5 bet. The farmer figured that somehow he'd been cheated, so Jonathan generously offered to give him back his 2 cents in return for the razor. The man got his money back, Jonathan got his razor, and the farmer never did figure out how Jonathan got away with the $5. Even if we do tell stories about the traveling salesman, it's still an important industry. But what good is even a traveling salesman if he doesn't have a sense of humor? Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of our industries, institutions, and legendary heroes with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, we will live together as a nation. Thank you very much.
Folks, let's go on with our story. Bob is all set to start a record company with Rosemary Clooney. We find him now trying to raise the capital.
Mr. Updike will see you now. Go right into his office.
Oh, thank you, Porfirio. Mr. Updike?
That is correct. I'm Hubert Updike III. I'm also Hubert Updike II and Hubert Updike I.
You're all three of them?
Yes. Pater wanted triplets, but Mater wasn't quite up to it.
Are you the famous Hubert Updike?
Oh, yes, yes, I dare say. My whole family has been in Who's Who for so long, three of my cousins are bookmarks. Mother is very old family.
She is?
Yes, yes, she's so cultured. When we were babies, she didn't diaper us the regular way. She put the talcum on our necks and let it shake down.
I bet she wouldn't let the canary take a bath unless it was wearing a Catalina swimsuit.
Pardon me while I straighten this picture of Fort Knox on the wall. We never should have sold it to the government. There we are. Now, what did you wish to see me about?
Oh, I've got an idea that'll make you $1,000,000.
A what?
$1,000,000.
My, you are a quaint one.
What do you mean?
Well, I lose more than that every time I pull out my driver's license.
Well, you must be very rich.
Oh, yes, 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 I am. You see, I wasn't brought by the stork. I was delivered in a Brinks truck. Let me tell you, we are so wealthy in our set, Howard Hughes is referred to as that pauper.
Heavens to Bobo Rockefeller.
I am disgustingly wealthy. To give you an idea now, other people have their teeth filled with gold, silver, or platinum. Ooh, how common.
And you, what do you have your teeth filled with?
I won't tell you, but when I smile, you may become radioactive.
Tell me, Hubert, do you have capital to invest?
Oh, oodles and oodles. Mater and Pater left me all their money, you know.
Oh, have your mother and father passed away?
Not exactly. It's just that I never see them anymore.
Why not?
Well, I just told you. They left me all their money, and now they have none. And I never associate with poor people.
Let's keep the Democrats out of this. Now, what do you do with all... What do you do with all your money?
Well, I'm always interested in sound business opportunities. Now, for instance, the Friendly Finance Company just borrowed some money from me.
They did?
Yes, they wanted to consolidate all their debts into one easy payment. Now, what is your proposition, Mr. Hoop?
What? A dupe. I want to start a record company with Rosemary Clooney. I'd like to borrow $3 or $4 million from you.
How many?
Well, $2 or $3 million. I wouldn't want you to take off both your shoes. Have you got that much?
Well, no, I think so. Just let me riffle through my mad money.
Say, what is that thing?
My wallet.
Looks more like a steamer trunk. The first wallet I ever saw with curb feelers. Look, Hubert, if you don't have that much money right...
No. Just a mo now. Just a second. I know I had that much a while ago when I went out to buy a newspaper.
When you went out to buy a paper, then you should still have it.
Well, I'm not so sure. I bought the Herald Express. Offices, buildings, the trucks.
I'd hate to send him out for a pack of cigarettes. He'd come back with Perry Como. Well, Hubert... Are you going to let me have the money?
Well, I don't want to rush into this thing. You see, dear old grandfather told me to do business only with honest, trustworthy people.
Well, are you going to give me the money?
I'm debating it. I pride myself on my ability to tell a person's character by his face. Your eyes are shifty and close together. You have thin, crafty lips and a weak chin. You have a mean, pinched face. And a loose, sneaky, crooked mouth. Before I give you a yes or a no, I'll have to meet Rosemary Clooney personally and make sure that she is going to contribute her talent to this venture.
Well, I can introduce you to Miss Clooney. Come on, we'll go over to her house right now.
Mr. Hope phoned that he's coming over with a friend. Show him into the next room till I finish rehearsing this scene for my picture with the dialogue director.
Very well, Miss Clooney.
Now, Harry, let's get started.
Well, in this scene, Rosemary, the plot of the picture begins to unfold. You decide to murder your husband. I'll read the first line. Then you'll do it, Pamela, for us.
I can stand Reginald and his brutality no longer. Oh, there's the doorbell. Mary, show Mr. Hope into the living room.
Yes, Miss Clooney.
Oh, hiya. Miss Clooney is expecting us.
This way, please.
Hey, Rosemary's got quite a place here, hasn't she, Hubert? 24. Hey, Hoob boy. Say, no, look at this place. 24 rooms. A ballroom, sun deck, music room, tennis court, and 2 swimming pools. I told you you'd like it.
Yes, yes, I'm enjoying this immensely. It's so much fun to go slumming.
Wait in here, please.
Oh, thank you. Sit down, Hubert. So you may be dubious about me, but where do you meet Rosemary? All your doubts will vanish. She's a fine, sweet, unspoiled, charming, sincere, typical American girl. She's as fresh and sweet as a flower in the meadow with a morning dew still on the petals. She's fine, wholesome, noble, and pure in word, thought, and deed.
How did you meet her?
We belong to the same rat pack. No, I'm only kidding, Hubert. Rosemary is the nicest, loveliest girl you'd ever want to meet. You'll like her, and you'll like her husband.
Darling, you must listen to me. I'm so happy that you're doing what I told you.
Hey, I hear voices in the next room. I'll peek in and see who's in there.
Oh, darling. Darling, I can't bear being separated from you any longer. What shall we do?
There's only one thing we can do. Poison my husband.
Poison?
Pour it into a glass of milk.
At least he'll die healthy.
Oh, my sweetheart. You're sure you can go through with it?
Of course. Nothing to it. My husband's in the way, so poof, I eliminate him.
Your husband's a good sort, really.
This is no time for sentiment. He's got to die.
I can't believe it.
And the sooner he dies, the better. I'll do it tonight.
After this, I wouldn't trust Margaret O'Brien.
How do you plan to do it?
I'll get rid of the servants, and when my husband arrives home from work, I'll be in my bedroom. I'll pretend a headache, and he'll come in and sit beside me. We'll be alone in the house, the shades drawn, the lights low. It will be his last hour on earth.
What did she say? Nothing. Pass the popcorn.
But this is serious.
Yeah, I'll have to tip him off not to buy any long-playing records.
Does it, Rosemary? Anything else I can do for you?
No, thank you, Harry. After this rehearsal, I'm sure I won't have any trouble.
That's what you think, you fiend. We heard the whole thing.
Bob, what on earth are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, you female Mickey Spillane. Well, you got a charge account at Forest Lawn?
This whole thing is a misunderstanding. We've been rehearsing a scene for my picture. My picture.
Are you making a pic?
No, I knew all along that you were a fine girl, Miss Clooney. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Hubert Updike III.
What a charming man.
I am going to put up the money for your recording company.
You are?
Yes, yes. You and I will be partners. In no time at all, we'll be the biggest company in the recording business. With your talent and my capital, we will clean up. I can just see the big sign in front of our building now. The Rosemary Clooney and Hubert Updike Music Company.
Oh, how wonderful. Come into the library and we'll talk about it.
Thank you, Margaret.
Hey, what about me?
Who needs them? I can get famous by myself.
See, I'm a tumbling down. Edge your nail off to the ground. Which way is Tennessee Ernie?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.